Hello and welcome back to the Expansion Room. This is a space where we learn about powerful tools for deep healing, clarity, and growth. My name is Siobhan Larice and I'm your host. And we will be continuing our exploration this week of holistic practices that we can incorporate into our daily lives for improving our mental health. And so today we're going to be talking about seasonal affective disorder. And for some of you, you may either be in the camp of, what is that? And for others, you may know that all too well, about that all too well. So here where I live in the mid-Atlantic in Maryland, the temperatures have been unseasonably cool. We have been in the 70s for the better part of 2 weeks, which is very rare for August into Labor Day into early September. We're usually either experiencing high 80s, sometimes a heat wave. And so here we are with these unseasonably cool temperatures, and everyone is starting to talk about and think about fall. It doesn't help that Starbucks has already started their pumpkin spice latte sales, which is always what seems to usher some people into fall. But the sweaters have come out at nighttime, jackets have come out at nighttime for people, and we're starting to talk about the transition to the cooler temperatures, the transition to shorter days. I've noticed the shorter days, so I'm very sensitive to the light and warmth. I love warm temperatures. I have Caribbean blood that runs through me, and so when I'm in the Caribbean, I am very happy there. You'll probably never see me in my life say, I'm going on a ski trip, unless I know good and well they have a lodge with a fireplace and ample hot chocolate. Otherwise, I'm not going because I'm definitely not putting on skis to ski anywhere. But I've been noticing the days getting shorter. I get up at the same time every morning, and it has now taken longer and longer for the sun to come up. And in the evenings, there's less and less daylight as the evening wears on. And so I'm always a little bit bummed out by that, but I know that it's part of the cycle of our planet and where I live in the Northern Hemisphere. And I work with a number of clients over the years who have experienced some level of the winter blues, that kind of meh feeling after you've had these short, dark days and these cold, gray days. But seasonal affective disorder is actually a mental health condition that is diagnosable and treatable to some extent. And so you're probably wondering, well, why are we talking about this so early? It's September. Most people start to feel the effects of seasonal affective disorder right around the end of October to somewhere around the middle of November. They start to notice the lower energy that they usually, lower energy than they usually feel, lower or decreased desire, we'll say, or motivation to do the things that they normally would do. Low mood starts to creep in. And for some people, this also brings about rumination, a little bit of anxiety, less of a window of tolerance for stress, and a whole host of other things that we'll talk about with this subject. So before we move ahead, we are going to define what is seasonal affective disorder so that we can then really think about how it affects our lives if we have it, and then what we can do about it. So I titled this episode, How Fresh Air and Sunlight Improves Mental Health, because that's one of the ways to treat it, is getting out into fresh air and getting out into sunshine. And if you can do that on a daily basis, especially starting when it's warm, it's easier to maintain when it's colder. Okay. So, seasonal affective disorder is defined as a type of depression that follows seasonal patterns. Typically, it's worse in the fall and winter, and people start feeling the effects, as I said, by mid-fall, end of October, early November. Now, funny enough, most people who have seasonal affective disorder, I would say 95%, have it during that season, that fall, winter. There's a tiny, tiny percentage of people that experience it in the summertime, where every summer, because of the heat and the extended light, their depression kicks in. And so it's the, I guess, the reverse or the mirrored version of seasonal affective disorder. Not many people have it, and I've treated one client who's had it in all the 22 years that I've been a therapist, just one person. So we'll stick with what the majority experiences as we're having this conversation. Some of the common symptoms, as I mentioned, is low mood, fatigue, like physically just not up for it. Oversleeping, carb cravings. That's a big one. You know, many people joke about the 5 or 10 pounds they gain in the winter because of the winter blues, sitting on the couch at home. We eat more carbs. It does probably doesn't help that our favorite holidays are pretty much running through the winter in that regard as well. But literally, your cravings change when it gets cold, right? And they kind of attribute that to, in some ways, to our evolution. But some of it too is that self-soothing, right? When we feel an increase as human beings in our stress levels, many people unconsciously self-soothe. And the easiest way to self-soothe is with food. And comfort food, carbs in general, are the way that we self-soothe. Sugar helps to soothe anxiety, believe it or not. It probably doesn't help anxiety as well, but when it's going in, it actually has the effect of soothing anxiety, stress as well. Another symptom is difficulty in concentrating, like just the inability to focus. As well as there's a loss of motivation in doing things. So for myself, I've never gotten diagnosed with seasonal affective disorder, but it was something I started to realize in my 20s that I had some level of these symptoms going on every year when it got cold and dark. So there became a point where I knew that I had to kind of make some level of adjustment in taking care of myself. My friends joke that they see me all summer long. I make sure I make the rounds and see people while it's warm because, except for the winter holidays, no one sees me. I try not to have to leave my house for any social activity because for me, it's too cold, it's dark. I just want to be hunkered down on my couch under a blanket. And so there have been adjustments that I've had made in my lifetime because of the winter blues, seasonal affective disorder type symptoms. So we'll talk some about that. So those are the main symptoms that most people experience. The difference between, say, the winter blues and seasonal affective disorder is kind of the numbers. Like, people actually how severe their symptoms are and whether they go to a doctor to get diagnosed, right? Or a mental health specialist to get diagnosed. So let's talk about the numbers. It affects quite a bit of people. 5% of the US population experience the actual diagnosis of seasonal affective disorder. That comes out to about 10 million people in the United States alone. And then there's another 10 to 20% of the population that experiences the winter blues, that meh feeling that people get. Women are 4 times more likely to experience this disorder. And the symptoms usually begin for people somewhere in their late teens or 20s, that people start to notice that this affects their lives. There is some science behind why this happens to us, right? And it happens to a large percentage of people on the planet who experience what we call winter. So, when we come back after our break, we're going to talk about the science behind this disorder, this diagnosis, and start to talk about what are some options, what can we do about it. So, come on back.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a high-achieving, growth-oriented leader? Are you interested in developing your authentic leadership while creating a healthy, inclusive workplace? Hi, I'm Dr. Mira Branku, host of The Hard Skills on talkradio.nyc at 5 p.m. Eastern on Tuesdays, where we discuss how leaders develop the hard skills needed to make a greater impact. We interview experts, have live coaching, and tackle these challenges. Listen to The Hard Skills on Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a purpose-driven individual looking for deeper healing, clarity, and growth? Welcome to the Expansion Room, a transformative space for purpose-driven individuals. I'm Siobhan Larice, host, licensed therapist, and coach. Join me every Wednesday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Welcome back to the Expansion Room. Today we're talking about seasonal affective disorder and how fresh air and sunlight could benefit your mental health if you experience this diagnosis. And so as we're stepping forward into this segment, we're going to talk a little bit about the science behind this diagnosis. Seasonal affective disorder is really about the decrease in sunlight. And no matter how much we as a people, a species on this planet, modernize, we have to continue to acknowledge that we are all part of nature and that we run, like our bodies literally run on nature. We are connected no matter how much we want to either ignore it or forget it, however we would describe that. And so we're connected to the rise and sunset of that big ball of fire in the sky, and it affects our circadian rhythm. That is our body's natural internal clock. And we all have it. And when the sun rises, it triggers some bioaction. And when the sun sets in the evening, it triggers another bioaction. So our bodies are in sync with natural light. And so let's talk about those chemicals in our bodies for a moment. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about neurotransmitters and how they make serotonin in our bodies and through our central nervous system, not just in our brain, but also that runs through our digestive system. And so serotonin is that feel-good chemical in our brain that helps with mood regulation, right? There's another called melatonin. And we often see melatonin sold in pharmacies and in stores to help people sleep. But we actually make our own melatonin in our bodies. And the reason for melatonin, at least one of them, is to help us get sleepy, fall asleep, and stay asleep so that our bodies recharge the way they were designed to do. Our lives for most of us modern people have become really indoors. We are focused more indoors and on technology than we are on nature and getting outside. So how our bodies are designed is in the mornings, when we wake up and the sun comes up, we should naturally be getting some sunlight in our eyes in that first hour of the sunrise. And when we do, it then helps to reset our internal biological clock. And then you go all day. There's a rise in serotonin in the morning, right in through the early part of the afternoon, if this is going on. So every morning, getting outside and getting some sunlight in your body, on your body, in your eye, right, triggers this increase of serotonin. You know what it also does then? It turns down melatonin. Melatonin will then kind of recede into the background. Serotonin gets you into action and moving throughout your day. In the afternoon, there's like a little bit of a balance between the two. And then as you approach sunset, melatonin starts to get triggered and rises in the body. And serotonin then recedes into the background. Melatonin helps us to relax. It helps us to get sleepy. It helps us to fall off to sleep and stay asleep. And so as the sun sets, that's the process. But oftentimes we're inside our homes and we don't even see the sunset. Have you ever noticed, if you're into beach vacations at least, and this is something I've noticed, when I go to beach on beach vacations, I sleep better. Now, some of it might be the salty air, the sound of the ocean, but I truly believe it's also that I'm getting up early and enjoying the sun. And I almost inevitably, because I'm on vacation, am outside when the sun sets. So that my circadian rhythm, that biological clock, is reset every day while I'm on vacation. So that's a little bit of the science behind how this all works, how our bodies, these wonderful biological machines, actually work. And so this impacts our energy levels, our mood stability, our emotional resilience. When daylight decreases in the fall and winter, that clock can get out of sync. And it leads to, for a lot of people, irregular sleep, fatigue, and brain fog. For me, definitely, if I go more than 3 or 4 days without being outside for, say, just a 20-minute walk in the morning, or if I don't get it in the morning, then getting an evening walk in before sun, just before sunset, my sleep starts to get a little wonky. I slip back to about 4, maybe 5 hours of sleep instead of the good 7 hours of sleep that my body needs. Some people need a little more, but my magic number seems to be 7, and it has been for a long time. But if I'm not getting out, taking a walk in sun, then it slips. And when you get to a certain age in life, especially as a woman slipping towards menopause, your sleep is already going to get a little wonky. So you got to have all the tools in your life to help you get as much of the sleep as you can. One of the things about fresh air and sunlight and how it supports mental health is that that early sun exposure sets the circadian rhythm, sets your mood, sets your sleep cycle, your sleep pattern. The evening walk helps to also reduce stress and regulate that melatonin level and the melatonin release. Fresh air itself, right? Just being outside in the flow of air helps to reduce stress hormones. And it supports mindfulness, because if you're going for a walk, particularly without headphones, not listening to music, not listening to podcasts or audiobooks, just allowing yourself to listen to nature, or better yet, listen to yourself breathing as you walk, right? It becomes a practice in mindfulness. Right. And because you're bringing your full awareness, your full presence to it. And so that's something else that you can maybe incorporate in a way in your life that's not too, you know, too much or too jarring. Spending intentional time in nature. So maybe going for a hike among the trees where you get the I forget what they call, I think it's almost like pheromones, tree pheromones. I'm sure that's not the right word. But there's something that trees release that is beneficial to us as humans. So when we go to walk in nature among the trees, we get a double benefit. In Japan, I believe, they did some research years ago. Because also in their culture, a lot of people had become much more inclined to be indoors. And they also noticed that depression was on the rise. And they started to do some research. And out of that research came this thing that we now call forest bathing. If they could take people out into nature among the trees for a certain amount of time, each day or each week, they noticed that their depression improved significantly. So a program really was born where this therapeutic process of taking groups of people out into nature, basically now nature therapy or forest bathing, to help improve their mental health. That practice has also come to the United States. I know at least 2 therapists in my area who offer talking therapy outside or offer forest bathing for groups of people because of this research. So it's something about nature and us that are truly all connected. And no matter what our career paths are, because most of us are indoors these days, We've got to be able to find our way to building in some time to connect with nature. It helps our mood, our energy, our stress level, clarifies your mind for the kind of work that you're doing in the world. Particularly, I think, if you're a business owner, we can't just be in our offices hunkered down all the time and not going outside when we are trying to think of new and innovative ways to work or create and offer things to the world. So thinking about sunlight, nature, fresh air, when was the last time you went for a little walk? And have you noticed when you go for a walk that something shifts within you? We're going to take a break. And when we come back, we will talk about really practical ways to bring in some of these things to affect in a positive way seasonal affective disorder and to start now, September, so that fall into winter doesn't feel so much like drudgery. So come on back.
Misalignment within your sales team or with a client stalls deals and creates unnecessary friction for you and the client, resulting in up to 37% lower win rate. If you're in pre-sales, sales, sales management, or sales enablement, and you'd like to increase revenues, win rate, margins, client satisfaction, and stay competitive, this show is for you. Hi, I'm Art Fromm, host of the Making Seamless Sales Show. Please join me live Thursdays at 7 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
Hey everybody, it's Tommy D, the Nonprofit Sector Connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host the program Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on talkradio.nyc.
Hi, I'm Linda Marsanico. The A Train to Sedona is a memoir about my journey to love and compassion. It's also the name of my new broadcast on Wednesdays at 12 noon. When we are spiritual, we embrace possibilities and ideas, which strengthen our mind, body, spirit, health, and wisdom. On the A Train to Sedona broadcast, I plan to interview guests who embrace these expansive practices. Join us on Wednesdays at 12 noon on Talk Radio New York City.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Welcome back to the Expansion Room. And in this segment, we're going to talk about what can we do to affect seasonal affective disorder now in September so that we feel better during winter months. And so one of the things that we can do is be really conscious about how we prepare. I have friends who grew up canning. So their parents may either have been on a farm or would get like a CSA or food products that were in abundance. And they knew how to preserve those foods in a process, of course, that we call canning, so that they'd have those foods throughout the winter months, right? Where not much is growing. So think of it that way. That's what we're going to be doing this month of September while we're transitioning into fall. So let's start with the idea of banking some vitamin D, right? We think of vitamin D as literally a vitamin, but it actually produces in our body naturally as a hormone. And it produces when we're outside in the sun for about, if you're fair skinned, 20 minutes. For people who are dark skinned like me, well, we have to be out there a little longer, right? Like maybe 40 minutes, 45 minutes. But being outside a little bit every day helps you to build up your reserves, so to speak. So banking some vitamin D so that when the light becomes less in fall through winter, we almost have like a storage of vitamin D in our bodies. And it helps us to regulate our mood for longer. So you don't feel that plummet early in the season. Another thing we can do is to really strengthen our circadian rhythm, that biological internal clock, getting consistent morning sunlight, which really helps to train your body's clock, to reset your body's clock so that you're getting ample sleep, which helps to also manage your mood. So for some people, it can be going for that 20-minute walk in the morning. You'll get the sunlight for the vitamin D, but you'll also, with the sun in your eye, because the sun is lower in that first hour that it rises, it's right at the right angle so that your brain, because you've seen it, registers the sunlight. And that's the kind of resetting that they're talking about when they say resetting your circadian rhythm. So you get two for one when you go outside for the walk. And so on the days that are shorter, your circadian rhythm will be more stable. You'll reduce that experience of fatigue and the shift or mood swings that you might experience. Now, as it gets colder and maybe the weather gets to a place that's not optimal, figuring out ways to still get into the sun, I call it being a lizard, is finding a spot where you can stand in the sun and let the sun hit your face. So you might be on your patio, your fire escape, your deck, standing just outside your front door. You might not go for a walk, but just standing there and soaking up the sun for a little bit can still give you a benefit, right? But right now in September, you can bank vitamin D and really train your central nervous, your circadian rhythms rather, in order for your biological clock to work optimally. Thirdly, you can start to create wellness habits for yourself right now, where you not only build outdoor rituals, right? Right now, it's still warm in most places. That morning walk can help you. Taking mindful time outside, hiking can help. Yoga in the park. There are places here where I live where they offer yoga in the park. There's actually a place that offers yoga on the farm with goats. But anything that you can do to get that sun, hanging out with friends and doing a picnic at a park in the sunlight, right? It can be as simple as that. But creating wellness rituals that involve you actually being outside starting now, so that it's easier when November comes around and you still kind of want to get outside, right? If we wait until winter or we wait until it gets cold and dark to start, it's not going to likely happen. At least I know me well enough to know it's not going to happen. I started this year being much more cognizant of getting out in the morning in the sun and going for at least a 20-minute walk And I did notice several things. I noticed that my mood is definitely stabilized, but more importantly, my sleep pattern is much more stable. And so it's just this kind of simple thing that I feel like I've incorporated for wellness that has really worked for me. So I encourage you to pick one of these outdoor activities and start to build a habit around it. Warmth and light are easier to carry into the colder months when we've already started those habits. Fourth, reducing your stress levels now. As I mentioned earlier, our window of tolerance for stress decreases as daylight decreases and it gets cold. And so, if you can decrease the things in your life that cause you stress, consciously just taking a look at your everyday life and making some shifts that are more beneficial to you, that could be one way to also manage the effects of seasonal affective disorder. And fresh air, nature, and sunshine and movement also help to lower cortisol. And cortisol is the thing that increases the more stress that we have in our lives. When we're living more in sympathetic nervous system, we have much more cortisol. When we're and that actually leads to a whole host, if it's always elevated, leads to a whole host of health issues. But if we're in parasympathetic nervous system, right, relaxed, rest, and digest, we lower the cortisol level, that stress hormone. And so entering into fall with a regulated nervous system can make you much more resilient against the seasonal mood dips that can happen. And then fifth is really starting now, boosting your emotional resilience. Some of that can be, of course, being exposed to nature, fresh air, and being outside, but also getting together with friends, getting together with people who really get you, people who truly love you, and doing that outside as much as you can. Something about that combination is so helpful to our nervous systems, helping to regulate our mood. It really helps to lower cortisol. And it helps us to feel like, even no matter what we're going through, it's not that bad, right? When we can connect with people. Psychologically, it helps us to build up our reserves so that we can also cope better when we are experiencing those dark, cold days of winter. So, how do we incorporate these kinds of things into our lives? I think we have to start thinking about, okay, what's just one thing that I can do in order to incorporate and feel better in my day-to-day life. And so maybe it's the morning sunlight ritual. Maybe it's a daily movement outdoors ritual. It also could be the mindful breathing in nature. And it could be creating maybe a wellness routine. One of the things that's key, and sometimes my clients will talk about this when we start talking about this cycle of the seasons changing and seasonal affective disorder coming up, is that they hate going outside in general, but they hate it more in winter. And so I usually can make a deal with them in a way that is, around what their window of tolerance in the winter is. What's the temperature that you're willing to go outside in? What's the lowest temperature you're willing to go outside in? For me personally, generally it's about 39, 40 degrees. I might go outside for a good walk in 35 degree temperatures if it's not so windy, right? If it's not too blustery. But I'm a kind of, my low tolerance is 39 to 40 degrees. And so on those colder days, I'm opening all the blinds in my house. I will step out on my deck for a bit in order to get some sunlight in. So some of my clients can tolerate lower temperatures than I can, but whatever the low tolerance is, then the deal is, if they purchase a light therapy lamp that they use every morning, if they haven't gone outside, then that is kind of an equivalent in the self-care side of this. So you want to optimally get sunlight. But if the weather's bad, or if there's ice outside, or if it's really too cold for you, a sun lamp. They're cheap. You can get them usually on Amazon. Or some of the other stores that sell them. I've had the same sun lamp for probably 15 years. I do pull it out usually at the end of August, at the end of October. But I have big windows in my house that I live in now, so I don't tend to use it as much. I can literally have light through my house while I'm working from home and step out on the deck in the mornings for some direct sunlight. So that's a compromise. So those five things: morning sunlight ritual, daily movement outdoors, mindful breath practice in nature, and creating a seasonal wellness routine for yourself, in which we're going to talk more about when we come back. And that may include getting a light therapy lamp. So think about that. What could you possibly do? And then we'll talk a little bit more about this in the last and final segment. Come on back.
On Frank About Health, we're not just talking healthcare. We're managing disruption and innovation. Over the last 4 years, I've taken you from epilepsy and COVID to mental health, caregiving, and now the front lines of healthcare transformation. Stay tuned for a healthier future as we bring on the innovators, professionals, storytellers, and advocates who show you how to own your healthcare every Thursday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
Ready to serve up success with a splash? Hi, I'm Bruce Kramer, a.k.a. the Corporate Cockroach.
I'm the Renaissance Woman, Angie Snowball.
And I'm your strategy doctor, Dr. Navtej Dasanjh, inviting you to serving up success with a splash.
Join us as we shake things up with real talk and real strategies centered around awareness, action, and accountability.
And yes, there really is a cocktail involved. Please join us and sip your way to success.
Serving up success with a splash, where wisdom meets happy hours. Cheers!
Cheers!
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Welcome back to the Expansion Room. And today we have been talking about seasonal affective disorder and how fresh air and sunlight can help us to manage it and therefore manage our mental health. And so we're talking now about things that we can do to incorporate in our lives on a day-to-day basis starting now here in September, so that we can almost build up reserves, as it were, for those cold, dark days of fall and winter. And so creating a seasonal wellness routine I think is really key. This is something that you can do consciously, that you can put effort into now, that will carry you into the fall and through the winter. So adjusting sleep, nutrition, and your overall self-care to align with what your needs are. So prioritizing getting consistent sleep is really, really key. Going to bed, like the experts say, going to bed and wake at the same time and waking up at the same time every day is really key. And I bucked that for a long time because I was like, I'm not getting up at the same time on the weekends as I do the weekdays. As I've gotten older, I see some of the wisdom in that. And it has also helped to regulate my sleep. But even more importantly is doing the things that help to really have an effect on my circadian rhythm. So that getting out into the sunlight early in the morning, for some people is going to be the evening walk just before sunset, because maybe they're not morning people. That's fine. Either one works, but it helps you to prioritize a rhythm in your sleep experience, which is what you're going for. So yes, setting your alarm to ring so that it sends you off to bed at the same time every night and honoring that and waking up at the same time every day helps to stabilize your circadian rhythms. Limiting your evening light. So if you start to create a sleep routine, you'll want to dim your lights about an hour before you want to go to bed, and not having too much of the blue light. So cell phones, other devices in your eye, so to speak, because it tricks your chemicals into thinking it's time to be awake. So there's more serotonin and less melatonin. So thinking about that for yourself. So about 1 to 2 hours before going to bed kind of helps to signal to your brain and your central nervous system, melatonin is time to be released, right? As well as that evening sunset. Winding down rituals. So some people love to have a cup of tea. As I've gotten older, I have learned to appreciate the evening cup of tea after dinner. Some people like to read or do gentle yoga before going to bed. Some say that stretching really helps them to relax so that they can easily fall off to sleep. Some people also like to just journal at the end of the day, thinking about keeping like a gratitude journal. And at the end of the day, just writing down 3 to 5 things that you're grateful for, right? Or if you tend to be a writer in general, that might be the time of day that you write. Another is nutrition, right? We talked about getting the vitamin D support when you're out in the sun every day, but vitamin D is also in foods, right? So incorporating fatty fish, fortified dairy, plant milks, mushrooms, functional mushrooms, and supplements are there, but you'll want to talk to your provider about what supplements could be of benefit to you. But vitamin D is so key. And if you are much more of an indoor cat than an outdoor cat, you're gonna wanna check your vitamin D levels, okay? Balancing your carbs, your macronutrients, your carbs to proteins. Cravings, as we talked about, are heavier in the fall and winter months, the darker months. And so pairing complex carbs with lean protein can help stabilize blood sugar, which in a lot of people prevents the energy crash, right? And then mood boosting nutrients. You'll want to be able to eat foods that are high in omega-3s like salmon, walnuts, and flaxseed, getting in B vitamins, which are good for your brain, through the foods like and magnesium through green leafy vegetables and seeds. So these are the kind of things you want to be thinking about. And we did an episode a few back about nutrition and how it supports our mental health. And so when you start thinking about what are the nutrients I need to get in to feel more balanced as I prepare for fall, winter, these are the kinds of things you want to think about. And then self-care, movement, scheduling the exercise, preferably outdoors if you can tolerate it. Gentle exercise is really great. It does not have to be vigorous. It naturally helps to lift your mood and regulate your sleep as well. Some of the other things you'll want to incorporate is maintaining connections, social connections with friends. So getting those connections in now and try to think ahead as to how often you might want to get out of your house when it does get darker and colder in order to connect. All right. So those shorter days can lead for some people to more isolation. But if you're consciously reaching out, you won't feel isolated and your mood will not lower quite as much. Mindfulness and breath work, which we talked a great deal about in last week's episode, also apply here because walking outside, you can do that as a mindfulness practice. Listening to your breath as you walk, a mindfulness practice. It helps to balance your central nervous system. And so all of these things work together. All of them work together. And then lastly, create cozy rituals for yourself. Winter is part of our experience if you live in a hemisphere that has winter. And you'll want to really think about ways that you can create rituals around your self-care. So the warm teas at night, when you do cook, making something hearty and grounding. My favorite is stews and really thick soups. That's just kind of how I roll for winter. Keeping a gratitude journal so that you can look back on those evenings during those colder months. Thinking about how you can nurture yourself into winter. So if you found any of this helpful, and you would like to continue this conversation, definitely reach out. This is one of the things that we do in our practice all the time is helping folks make it through winter. I've had a number of clients over the years prepare in these ways so that they can be fortified for fall and winter. So reaching out would be welcome. I'm at restoretranquility.com or Instagram and on YouTube. And next week, we will be talking about something near and dear to my heart, spirituality. I've invited John Paul Anderson, who is the creator of Retune Me website and app. And it's an app that is designed for meditation, to help people find their meditative space through mindfulness, breath work, and some other practices so that they can build a sense of spirituality. And he's going to share with us his story of his own search for spirituality. He's much more of a sciencey, techie type guy, and this wasn't something that came naturally to him. So I'm looking forward to having this conversation with him because I was raised opposite. I'm a preacher's kid. I was in church every Sunday, and spirituality and religion kind of runs through my veins. So I think it'll be a great conversation around what is spirituality anyway, and how can we access it in ways that really resonate for us and improve our mental health and well-being so that we can do the things in the world that we are meant to do. I hope you have a great week. I look forward to meeting you back here. Bye-bye.
NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
On Frank About Health, we're not just talking healthcare. We're managing disruption and innovation. Over the last 4 years, I've taken you from epilepsy and COVID to mental health, caregiving, and now the front lines of healthcare transformation. Stay tuned for a healthier future as we bring on the innovators, professionals, storytellers, and advocates who show you how to own your healthcare every Thursday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
Hi, I'm Linda Marsanico. The A Train to Sedona is a memoir about my journey to love and compassion. It's also the name of my new broadcast on Wednesdays at 12 noon. When we are spiritual, we embrace possibilities and ideas, which strengthen our mind, body, spirit, health, and wisdom. On the A Train to Sedona broadcast, I plan to interview guests who embrace these expansive practices. Join us on Wednesdays at 12 noon on Talk Radio New York City.
Hey, everybody, it's Tommy D, the Nonprofit Sector Connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host a program, Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your Conscious Consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a high-achieving, growth-oriented leader? Are you interested in developing your authentic leadership while creating a healthy, inclusive workplace? Hi, I'm Dr. Mira Branku, host of The Hard Skills on talkradio.nyc at 5 p.m. Eastern on Tuesdays, where we discuss how leaders develop the hard skills needed to make a greater impact. We interview experts, have live coaching, and tackle these challenges. Listen to The Hard Skills on Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.